This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
We start over.
What are you talking about?
No, we did. You know, yesterday was the big day. 100.
Yeah, 100.
Yeah. We start over. Go back to number one.
I have 101 on my chart. Right. You've taught me to write down show numbers now for some reason.
I write down everything. You just never know when you might use it. All right. This is going to be an interesting weekend upon us.
Yeah.
There's huge news eventually coming, I think, coming out of Clemson from a football perspective. And then there's a basketball weekend.
Right.
We have a major showdown. I mean a major showdown with Louisville and Duke. We'll get into all that stuff. We'll take your calls, too, as I mentioned, at 844-SAY-ACCN. We always stream live on that ESPN app. And, of course, I do welcome the good folks at the SiriusXM Channel 371. So, all right. With all that said, good to go?
Yeah, I think we got a pretty solid show here today. David Teal is going to join us, bottom of the hour, Newport News Daily Press, one of our favorites, show regular. I think we can say he's a regular.
No doubt. And obviously knows everything about the league, and we'll get into the Justin Fuente situation a little bit.
Yeah, we want to talk about that for sure. Then in hour two this morning, Amir Sims is going to be here, the great forward for Clemson. I'm excited to talk to him out of Palmyra, Virginia, an old head on the team, even though he's just a junior, so he'll be with us. And then Leonard Hamilton will be with us at about 8:30.
You think Leonard will have the sweatsuit on? I bet he does.
Yeah, maybe so.
I bet he goes sweatsuit on us.
So Leonard Hamilton, Amir Sims.
We're not done, though.
No, in the 8 o'clock hour. That's just the 8 o'clock hour. 9 o'clock hour, David Shumate will be here. I think it's his first visit with us.
On television.
Yeah, on television, the play-by-play voice of the Duke Blue Devils. He'll talk to us.
He has joined us before when we were doing the radio only.
Mm-hmm.
And we asked him on radio days only, that was during the football season, could he give us a Wallace Wade outdoor mention? And he seemed very reluctant to agree to that.
Very reluctant.
I don't know why.
Yeah. So he'll join us about 9:30. And if all goes well, keep your fingers and toes crossed, Clifford will be here.
Clifford the Cat makes his appearance. Debut.
Clifford will come bouncing through here. We'll clear this room.
Yeah, we'll
of
take the
dogs.
Hounds go upstairs to the West Durham suite, and then Clifford will have free reign of the last hour of the show.
So,
and your lovely wife, better half, Vicky, will be here.
Yeah.
In the green room.
Good chance she'll be here in the green room to keep an eye on the OTC.
By the way, Mrs. P was scheduled to be out of town today to a lunch function, and that got postponed.
Oh, so she's here now.
So she's here, but she's sick as a dog. She got sick, I mean, again.
Again?
Yeah, we've had it. 2020 has been a rough year.
Packer virus?
There's some going around in our house, and I don't know what it is. Everything's great down here.
I don't go upstairs.
Yeah.
Robert, Otto, and I, we stay
floors
right here.
Floors two, three, and four have been a...
I'm not going upstairs.
Sick ward for us this year.
Not going upstairs.
And I survived the doctor yesterday, sort of, kind of. So, I don't know. Now I know why.
That doesn't sound encouraging.
No, I wasn't encouraged walking out of there. I really wasn't.
Going to be all right?
I don't know if I am or not.
All right.
That's why I'm going back to show number one.
All right.
We're going to start from scratch.
All right.
We do a better job the next 100.
For those of you that follow college football, I'd like to welcome you to the most important 12 hours of the season for some of you, because this is the deadline day of college players to submit their name for declaration into the 2020 NFL draft.
Right.
A lot of this has already transpired, but for some programs, this is the last day. Well, for all programs, it's the last day because the deadline is at, I think, 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock this afternoon.
And given that LSU and Clemson played Monday night, those were the two schools really this week that you should hear a ton of news. And
right.
Of course, LSU's lost, I think, 7 have already declared.
Yeah, 7 or 8, I think.
At least.
Yeah.
And 7 that I'm aware of.
There could be more today.
Yeah, I mean, given the payments that are being taken place with the Southeastern Conference on the field, there's no telling how many guys may declare. But Clemson today, we should get some information, good, bad, or indifferent. And there's still some big names out there.
Yeah.
And one of the names that popped up and above the declaration for the NFL was Chase Brice, who is an outstanding backup quarterback. And no, he's not going pro yet because he is a player.
Mm-hmm.
But he entered the transfer portal yesterday. I don't think it was a surprise to people in the Clemson circle.
I wasn't surprised at all. I think this is the new normal in some respects.
Sure.
Right?
Especially the way this particular team recruits. And, you know, sometimes you can kind of get stuck between one wave of greatness and the next wave of greatness coming from behind, at least what Clemson hopes so. But let me tell you now, Chase Bryce can flat out play.
Right.
This dude can help 95% of teams in college football.
Yep.
And that number may even be low.
Well, we were just having a discussion here before we started the show. And he would be in a quarterback competition or win the job right now at 5 or 6 schools easy.
Where?
In the ACC.
Oh, I think it's more than that. I'll tell you what. If you took all the quarterbacks in the ACC and said, hey, I'm putting them all down there in the basement, you and Pack in Durham. Now we're going to start selecting them out one at a time. You pick.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take Trevor Lawrence here. I'll take Sam Howell here. I'm not so sure Chase Bryce is at number 3. Now, Kenny Pickett's a good player. But I'm not sure.
And again, we're talking about fits here. So that's why I'm not throwing every school in the mix here.
I'm throwing everybody.
Because it's not exactly. It may not be what Mikhail Cunningham or Scott Satterfield wants at Louisville.
No, you're right. But I'm just talking about can the guy.
Or what Robert and I and Bronco want at Virginia.
You got it.
Okay.
Right. I mean, you got to fit what your need.
Right.
But I'm talking about we put all these ACC quarterbacks in this room, and we'll let the NFL guys pick.
Mm-hmm.
With all the NFL GMs standing outside.
He'd be in top 3 or 5.
There is no question about that. No, but you cannot argue that one.
Right.
Right. If you run the option, hey, Chase Bryce isn't your right. But for the National Football League, Chase Bryce can play.
Yep.
Wherever he ends up, he is going to really, really help somebody.
He's going to go someplace he can play.
No question. I mean, hey, if you want to sit there and wear a baseball hat and come in the 3rd and 4th quarter, just stay at Clemson. But this dude is a starter.
Mm-hmm. But it's also, if you look at it on paper, this is what happens now in the ladder of succession to be a starting quarterback at a program like Clemson, at a program like at Ohio State, Alabama, exactly whatever.
Right. That's exactly right.
Because Trevor Lawrence is going to quarterback one more year, contrary to what people are writing or saying or things of that nature. And yesterday, we completely went on the tilt-a-whirl at the state fair in terms of articles about Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, there were so many stupid things written yesterday.
All right.
Ridiculous. We'll get to that later.
But the idea that DJ is coming in, he'll be the backup.
Yep.
And why else would he be there?
Right.
And then he becomes the starter, and then, you know, and whether DJ plays or not, remember Pumichon is also on that roster still. So if they get to a point in the season where, you know, maybe DJ doesn't play his 4 games, right?
Right.
I mean, it's interesting the way it opens up. But Chase Bryce, shoot, flies out of his hand, Pack.
He is a big-time talent. And you know what? All you got to do is go back to the 2018 season when Trevor Lawrence and Kelly Bryant were going back and forth, and Trevor Lawrence gets the nod as the starter against Syracuse. Gets hurt. Syracuse jumps the Tigers early. Then it was Chase Bryce who had to come in the second half and win that game. And I'll never forget that 4th down throw.
Neither will Josh Macri.
Well, that's true. But you know, that throw was so important that, you know, if Clemson loses that game.
I'm with you.
Guess who wins the Atlantic? I mean, I'm just saying, crazy stuff happens, right?
Absolutely.
But Chase Bryce is a, obviously you saw the tweet from Trevor Lawrence, and that locker room really, really like Chase Bryce. He is a leader. He is a big-time quarterback. He is going to help somebody, so we wish him the very best.
It's going to be a very interesting couple months for Chase Bryce.
And he's going to get his degree in May. He's got 2 years of eligibility. I'm just telling you, somebody, some big-time school is
going to get
really
a quarterback.
Going to get themselves a really good quarterback, so we wish him the best.
Yep. So there's that news as well.
Niles Pinckney, by the way, announced yesterday that he's coming back to Clemson on the defensive line.
Okay.
Now, he did not play in the national championship game, and not that I don't think it would have mattered, but it was certainly helped to have another warm body who can give you a ton of snaps.
Right.
So he's coming back with, he said, some unfinished business. So we'll see. We'll get the announcement today out of Tiger Town, see who's coming and who's staying and all that stuff.
Tell you what, next week we'll compile a list and just kind of run it by you as to who is declared for the draft so you can see maybe at a swing how it impacts every school. there have been some guys, you know, the transfers are different things. We're talking about declarations to the draft. So, but we'll see if we can put some of that stuff together for the Monday show.
And Chase Bryce is a transfer. He's not declaring the NFL.
Who
He's
is going, eligible immediately with 2 years.
2 years. Two years is really the key number there, right? It's one thing to say, listen, I'm just bringing a guy in for 1 year as a stopgap. No, he's going to come in for two.
By the way, he is eligible. Since it is a graduation situation, he's eligible to go within the league.
Yeah. He can help. You know who North Carolina's quarterback is. You know who Clemson's quarterback is. You feel solid about another handful of schools. But Chase Bryce can help any team in this league. Any team. That's not even a reach.
No.
Not a reach.
No, I agree with you on that.
So keep an eye on that one.
Anybody, your A.J. Terrell, obviously, today?
My gut, again, I don't know.
Sure.
But my gut tells me they all go.
Travis Etienne today?
They all have to make a decision one way or the other.
Yeah.
Whether you want to stay
But those
or
are
go.
The two we're really kind of waiting on.
And Simmons, you know.
Isaiah Simmons is
gone.
Yeah. What did Eric McClain say Tuesday? I know. Yeah. He gone.
He gone. I mean, and good for him. He's earned it. He's earned everything that's coming his way.
Isaiah Simmons is top five, top ten in the draft.
No question. Yeah. And all he did was enhance his draft skills and then everything else on that game Monday night. He was great Monday night.
Yeah. Let's show some 11 video because if you don't know who this is, holy smokes.
You haven't watched a game this year if you didn't watch 11.
Man. That is a play. He even made some plays Monday night. There was one he made in the first period where, you had guys standing there on the sideline looking around at one another. It was pretty unbelievable. So, yeah, just an amazing football player.
For Clemson next year, how they figure out to fill 11. I mean, you're not going to because you can play at all three different levels. We've talked about this ad nauseum.
Mm-hmm.
But that, to me, is their biggest loss.
Isaiah Simmons? Mm-hmm. No question. No question.
Now, we'll talk about, losing four offensive linemen, but I think they'll be okay on the line.
Yeah, they'll figure that out.
And their defensive line will be better, which I thought was a little down for them this year in terms of numbers and everything else. But losing 11 will be the biggest thing for Brent Venables to figure out for 2020.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
All right. We didn't get to take as many calls yesterday maybe as we wanted to at Show 100, so maybe there's some things people want to catch up on.
We've been, actually, to be honest with you, we've been kind of busy all week.
We're in New Orleans.
Yeah. I mean, so we really haven't been – I mean, we're crazy caller-driven because we're always into crazy stuff, but if you want to jump on board – heading into a weekend that has a marquee game at the top, right, with Duke Louisville, and then the glob. There are a bunch of good glob games, which we're going to get into, all right?
Yeah.
Important games this weekend.
In the glob.
In the glob. That's the only way to describe what's going on from 4 to 15 in the ACC. I mean, somebody's going to emerge.
By the way, we need a graphic for the glob. Can I put that out for the crew?
Whatever.
Can I get somebody to build us a glob graphic?
Because
the glob, have it be like some kind of, remember that slime we used to have in the 70s?
But I mean, that's the only way I can describe what's going on in the league. But, a team like Virginia Tech that's been out of sight, right, surprising at 4-2.
They got
Syracuse coming to town this weekend. If they win, Wes, that's 5-2.
I know.
For Coach Young. So I'm waiting for the separation in the glob of, hey, we know who the best three teams are, right? Whatever order you want with Duke, Louisville, and Florida State. Then I want to see what happens, like, of the next conglomerate of whatever it is.
So you're saying, right here, this is my little chart, that's Duke, Florida State, Louisville right there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Virginia Tech. And then from
the
here,
glob.
The glob. That's the glob? Right
that's
there?
The glob.
That's the
bunch
glob.
Bunch of 3-3s including, and 3-4s and 2-4s.
We got five teams at 3-3. One at 3-4, 3 at 2-4, 1 at 1-4, 1 at 1-5.
And I couldn't tell you of that group, the glob, I could not
There's
tell
the glob.
You. There it is. Check it out for yourself.
Can we?
I couldn't tell you. I mean, who is the combination that's going to emerge? Is it Virginia finding it? I think they got a monster game this week.
Georgia Tech.
It's a huge game. NC State, are they ready to kind of take it and get on a run here now that CJ's back? Syracuse showed signs of life, making everything they looked at against BC. I mean, Clemson's red hot. Where'd that come from? So I don't know. The glob will emerge something. But nevertheless, it's Duke-Louisville at the top this weekend, Les.
Well, here's the thing about Duke and Louisville. Last time we saw the Cards and Blue Devils.
Oh, classic.
Yeah.
Meltdown.
Yeah. So, is there a thing about Duke with Louisville? A thing being, is there some sort of, hey, here we go. Last time these guys were on the floor. Now, all those guys, Zion, RJ, Reddish. Now, let me tell you this. The one guy that sparked the comeback at the Yum Center last year is on the floor tomorrow.
That's right.
And it's not Trey Jones. It's Jordan Goldwire.
That's right.
Because Jordan Goldwire ended up being the guy that kind of cranked it up defensively and was the real spark. About that shot, by the way.
When you and I were doing the ACC Decade in Review show,
yeah,
this was one of the games that made the cut, right?
Absolutely.
One of the moments of the decade where you went, you've got to be kidding me. There were a lot of people that turned that game off when Louisville was up 800 with 10 minutes to go in the game. And woke up the next morning and went, what?
Yep.
What are you talking about? But, you know, it's funny, Wes. You know, Louisville has really struggled against conference top three ranked teams, right? Mm-hmm. They're 2-8 since joining the league. So Louisville has not been great when they see a top three ACC team. The flip side of this is Coach K is 500 against Louisville all time. So it's not like either one's kind of dominated the other, but there have been moments on both sides where their fan bases go, man, it was cool when we came back and beat Louisville. Or Louisville going, hey, it was cool when we knocked out Coach K in the NCAA tournament. So this is blue blood. These are two of the three best teams in the ACC. We'll talk to Leonard Hamilton, who's got the other team that you got to put in the top three. This is a really big deal tomorrow night.
Well, there are concerns really on both sides of the sheet because in Louisville's situation, you know, remember they've had the opportunity against Kentucky. Didn't go well.
Right.
They have won some ACC games of importance. But let's be honest here now. The Cardinals have to take the next step, and tomorrow night is an excellent opportunity to take the next step and take it on the road against the Duke team that has shown a vulnerability that is weird because only three times as the head coach at Duke has Mike Krzyzewski lost two ball games in the same season to unranked teams as a top three team. Okay? That's a weird characteristic to have for a team that is, you know, as talented as Duke is. I don't know the status of Joey Baker. Maybe David Shumate will have some insight for us when he joins us in the 9 o'clock hour. I think it's going to be very interesting to watch the mentality of not only the Duke team that played the other night at Clemson, but the Louisville team that has gone on the road and kind of fought it a little bit, Pac, to be honest.
Here's the other thing. You got strength versus strength. Duke inside, scoring a bunch of points in the paint.
Right.
Louisville inside, playing great defense in the paint. Something's got to give tomorrow night at Cameron Indoor.
Yep.
So you kind of got a strength versus strength deal going on here.
Mm-hmm.
But these are two blue bloods, man. And you know what? The environment will be out of sight at Cameron. Louisville's going to be coming in there chip on shoulder. Duke's going to be ticked off after losing to Clemson in Little John, as you pointed out, with the back-to-back losses and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, like I said, this is – it's time to go, man. We're in the middle of January. We now expect to see matchups like this. We're going to get a dose of it ACC style tomorrow night.
We do have one thing I want to show you here, and it is a comparative statement because last year we all got caught up in what Duke was with the, you know, the tour, right? The Stones were on tour. We had Zion and RJ and Cam and everything that was about. Well, if you look at where Duke was a year ago and where Duke is now, I mean, the numbers are kind of crazy how eerie it is when you think about it.
But they seem like a totally different team, I think.
I don't disagree. They're a totally different team.
Looks totally different. They play different. They're deeper. They get more play out of the bench.
Mm-hmm.
I think their defense is better, to be honest with you. I think this team, I kind of like watching this team more than last year's team. And I know last year had all the flash. But I just like the way this is more of a team.
Well, this is old school.
Right.
This is old school Duke.
Overplay on D, all that. That to me is Duke basketball. That last year was like a NBA light. Clear out. Okay, here's Zion. Great. On SportsCenter 6 times in the top 10. I get it. But I enjoy watching this Duke team because it's more of a Duke team.
Well, part of the reason I like watching this team in particular is the combination of players and the way he puts them on the floor. In other words, I know they're positionless, and that's one of the things, it's one of the buzzwords that I think Coach K is responsible for in the basketball lexicon. I think as much as positionless Duke exists, I like the fact that you've got a true pure point, right, in Trey Jones. You got a true pure big in Vernon Carey, and then you've got the wheel of the wings. The wings can be Cassius Stanley. They can be Alex O'Connell. It can be Joey Baker, Matthew Hurt. I think there's a prominent role for a Jack White in this team, that kind of thing.
Here's the other thing.
The number I was telling you about.
Is this not also a preview of potentially your ACC Player of the Year showdown?
Absolutely.
Right?
Jordan Warren, and Trey Jones?
Well, how about Vernon Carey?
Okay.
There?
I think Vernon Carey, yeah, I mean, Vernon Carey can get in the discussion. But in my mind right now, it's a Trey Jones and Jordan Wara situation.
All right, I'm going to disagree with that. But we'll get to that later on. But the point of it is, these are, like I said, blue bloods.
Right.
These are two teams that have been ranked number one in the country at some point in time. It is a kind of a statement game amongst mm-hmm. the big three right now in the league.
Right.
With throwing in Florida State and who else might want to join in later on. But it's really the first, it really feels like the first conference game of note.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, it's you know, you get these in this league every year. And I know this year it looks like it's different because it is.
Right.
Because we're not talking about eight or nine teams right now going to the NCAA tournament. We know of three. Hopefully there's a couple of others that get sprinkled in. But we are used to games like this mm-hmm. all the time. And this year, for the snapshot of ACC basketball, it's the first one that you go, I know what I'm going to do tomorrow night. I'm going to be watching Duke and Louisville. Get it all over you, as I like to say.
By the way, the Blue Devils are on a list of teams, and I know you're a big fan of this, on the ESPN.com BPI. The Blue Devils have, they're one of about five teams that have a chance to kind of win out.
Oh, Duke's not going to win out. Please. They didn't even win out this week. If you would have asked me this question a week ago, I'd have told you you're crazy.
That's exactly why I brought this up.
They're not going to win out in this league.
Okay. Just telling you. They're on the list.
Do you agree or disagree with that?
I just said they're on the list.
I don't care what list they're on. I'm asking you a question. You think they're going to win out?
No.
I don't either. They may not even win out by the time we get back on Monday.
By the way, Liberty, Vermont, San Diego State, and Gonzaga also
care.
On that list.
None of that matters to me. You know why? Because in all likelihood, they're all going to be in the tournament, whether they win out or not.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I waste my time on that stuff.
All right. We're going to get David Teal next. We'll cap a big night women's basketball as well.
I'll tell you what. We asked David Teal if Duke's going to win out. What do you think his answer is going to be?
He might say yes.
I bet he says no.
All right.
How about we do this? Is anybody in the league going to win out? No.
No. Not in this league. Duke could.
Duke's not going to win out.
Okay. You've already said Duke won't win out. Robin's going to be upset with you.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Enjoy the hounds while you can, because for the power hour later on, they will be removed, and making his debut will be Clifford D. Cat, along with Miss Vicky, Wes's better half.
Extremely the boys better are, half. The boys it's not even are, close, is it?
No, it's really not.
It's not even close.
Which is true for all of us.
Yeah, but.
But the boys are, I can tell they're a little dejected. They know they're getting kicked to the curb. It's all right, Fuller. You'll be back Monday. All right, let's bring on our next guest.
I don't know why Fuller's worried about being ejected, because he got ejected for about six straight shows.
Yeah, he made it through yesterday's 100, but he had a tough round there.
Yeah, for a while he
six
was on
straight shows
small
missed.
Probation and suspension.
Yeah, put him a little time out. Yeah. But nevertheless, we're good to go. Our man David Teal joins us from the Daily Press. He knows all. That's why we have him on this show, and he is a regular. Mr. Teal, good morning. How are you?
Gentlemen, happy century, and props to whoever came up with the Earth, Wind, and Fire bumper. That is strong stuff.
Every once in a while, we get it right on this show, Teal. Just
yes,
let that
sir.
Be. Yeah. All right. I would ask you to chronicle the last 72 hours in Blacksburg for Justin Fuente, but let me just go this route.
Okay.
He met with Baylor. We know that. That happened, right?
Yes, it happened in Blacksburg or thereabouts. The Baylor folks and the search firm came to Southwest Virginia to meet with Justin Fuente and his family.
All right. And it was at that point he went back to Virginia Tech and then elected to stay, or was there something else in between that I'm missing in kind of trying to read all the tea leaves here?
Well, he met with the Baylor folks, Wes, on Wednesday during the day. Wednesday night, he met in his home with Hokies athletic director Whit Babcock. He did not give Babcock a decision Wednesday night. Yesterday morning, he called Whit and said, "I am staying." So it sure sounds to me, the way I interpret it, and no one has confirmed this, and they never will, but I think he had an offer, and he had a decision to make, and he elected to stay.
Hmm. All right, with all that said, I mean, all right, so Justin Fuente, still the coach at Virginia Tech. David, they got 19 starters back from a team that kind of found it in the midseason last year, despite the loss in the bowl game. There's some momentum, I would assume, based on how they played and the numbers that are coming back. So what do you put Justin Fuente and Virginia Tech Nation now? I mean, if you're a fan of the Hokies, you're sitting back going, well, I'm glad he's back, but, man, why did we have to go through this exercise?
Yes, I think that's a very good way to put it. I think there is some frustration. Look, there's a segment of every fan base that's going to be unhappy with the head coach unless they're winning titles every season. So let's put that group aside. I think most of Hokie Nation is in Justin Fuente's corner. Did these past 72 hours give many of them pause? Based on my timeline and my feedback and just human nature, absolutely. Now, hey, Justin Fuente is from Big 12 country. Mm-hmm. He played in the Big 12 at Oklahoma. Perhaps Baylor could have offered him, you know, generational financial security. Did he have an obligation to himself and his family to listen to that? I think you can make that argument. Did he want it public? Heck no. Mm-hmm. But, you know, now he's decided to stay. I would have handled the announcement a little bit differently than just a tweet. Virginia Tech knows well this ritual when Frank Beamer flirted with North Carolina back in November 2000. He elected to stay, and when he did, he had a news conference with then athletic director Jim Weaver and talked to Hokie Nation. I think it would have behooved Justin Fuente to do the same yesterday. I realize he's a private guy. I respect that. But he's in a very public position, and he's paid handsomely for it.
Dan, I know this much. The easiest way to soothe whatever may be an open wound is to win.
Yeah.
You know, and if this football team does just that, man, people don't even worry about this conversation with Baylor. I mean, that's the ultimate deodorant, man. Just win games. Everything will be okay.
Yeah, and hey, let's remember, guys, in the four seasons before Justin Fuente, Virginia Tech won eight or more games one time, had an 8-5 season. In Justin Fuente's four seasons, the Hokies have been 8 wins or better 3 times, went to the ACC championship game for the first time in 5 years in his first season when he was ACC Coach of the Year. Now, you can say he did it with Frank Beamer's players, but he did it with his quarterback that he brought in from junior college in Gerard Evans. So I think Justin Fuente's done, you know, thus far, a pretty good job. I wouldn't give him an A-plus in four seasons. I don't think he'd give himself an A-plus. But I think he's done pretty darn well.
David, some of this has to go back to the fact that Justin Fuente has just overhauled his defensive staff as well. With the retirement of Bud Foster, Charlie Wiles, and Mitchell are now at NC State off that staff. I mean, he has brought in, he promoted Hamilton as the coordinator, obviously, but they've also reset a little bit of what they're doing on that side of the ball. If he up and goes now to Baylor, Virginia Tech's in a real situation. I mean, like a real live trauma in football coaching, right? So for him to stay, as you know, maybe frustrated as some Hokie fans are that he interviewed for a Big 12 job, or I'm going to say interviewed, I'm going to say talked about a Big 12 job, because I do believe what Pete Thamel originally wrote. I think he was a leading guy and it was his to turn down. But the idea that all this is happening, oh, by the way, he talked to a Big 12 school, they got to simmer the frustrations here, because the guy's got to, it's an important spring for him, right?
It absolutely is. And I don't need to show you guys the calendar. It's mid-January when this came up. You mentioned Pete Thamel breaking this news on Tuesday night. This happened literally hours after Virginia Tech had announced the hiring of a fourth new assistant coach, complete with a glowing quote from Justin Fuente in the press release. And then, you know, juxtapose, and all of a sudden he's the leading candidate at Baylor. I mean, you talk about a bunch of lives hanging in the balance now. Yeah. You know, folks had uprooted their families and were coming to Blacksburg to come to work for this guy. It had to be a very skittish couple of days for some folks.
Well, it's definitely awkward, but, you know, I also know how the news cycle works, that this time next week we'll be on to something else. I'm just telling you that this will be a blip that, hey, you move on. But I keep telling you, man, just win games. People will be fired up. Hokie Nation wants to win. They're ready to get back in the conversation. And with 19 starters back, they'll have an opportunity to take care of business in the Coastal. I want to ask you about hoops.
Sure.
I mean, we're sitting here on the cusp of Duke and Louisville, and Wes was just rattling off some list about teams that have the chance to win out. Do you think Duke basketball could win out, David?
No. Right. Could they? Could they? Yes. Will they? No. The game at Clemson the other night shows everything you need to know about how college basketball works when you get on the road in conference play. I mean, Duke was in the top three, I believe it was, in the nation in defensive efficiency. Mm-hmm. They were playing great on that end of the floor. And Brad Brownell's bunch goes out there and shoots like 56%.
Right.
I mean, how do you – there's no explanation for that. I mean, stuff happens.
Except Clemson leveraged Monday night to win Tuesday night.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, don't forget winning in Chapel Hill.
Hey, you win in Chapel Hill and you beat Duke, you leverage a football national title game for that. Right, David? Isn't that the way this works?
I don't think they would have made that trade.
No, I know they wouldn't have.
I think they would take 0-60 in a minute in exchange for that national championship.
Yeah, you know it.
Hey, by the way, Packer has termed teams 4 through 15 as the glob. I'd like for you to reference that in all material going forward.
I think that's a very good word. And I would just suggest that maybe at the top of that glob right now are the Wolfpack and the Hokies.
Yeah,
could be. I mean, Virginia Tech, I think, took game tomorrow. I mentioned this to Wes earlier. Playing Syracuse at home, it's the kind of game that, you know, kind of separates you from the glob. You know, if you win that thing, all of a sudden Coach Young's 5-2. 5-2 in the league. Yeah. So I think it's a really important game to hold serve, but – you know, eventually, David, somebody, maybe more than just one team, will emerge from this group of 3-3s and 3-4s and 2-4s and all that nonsense. But, I mean, somebody's going to have to get consistent and win some games other than Duke and Louisville and Florida State.
Yep. And here's, you know, I was talking with someone yesterday about UVA's situation, because I think we could all agree that if the committee were meeting today, Virginia would probably be on the outside looking in terms of getting in the bracket. And the problem gets to be there aren't, because the league is down, there aren't going to be as many opportunities to get those quadrant one victories that the committee looks at. So the pressure is really going to be on a team such as Virginia when Virginia Tech, when they play at Virginia Tech, or when they get Duke, Louisville, and Florida State, they're in Charlottesville. They're going to need to win a preponderance of those games to get themselves in the at-large conversation.
All right, my man. The best as always. We appreciate the time. Look forward to seeing you on the road here at some point.
Gentlemen, take care. Thanks for having me.
All right. David Teal, columnist of the Newport News Daily Press, Hall of Famer.
You'd have to say that when we do a celebratory of the 200 shows of Hacker and Durham,
right,
that interview right there, right now, is the leader in the clubhouse to make the cut for the next celebratory show.
Hacker and Durham.
There's crispy, and then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Hounds, enjoy them while you can. Like I said, Clifford the Cat makes his appearance today, and we'll see how that goes. 9 o'clock hour. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number.
An orange tabby rolling through this room.
We'll see what happens with the cat. I'm not sure what's going
to
happen.
Trying to see how many shelves he can jump up on.
I don't think he's going to get on any of those shelves.
He's an athlete, but I don't think he can get up on those.
I'll tell you what. He better clean up after himself if he jumps on one of these shelves. Just say that right now. All right, we get to hoops. This is a very interesting weekend. We know about Duke and Louisville, but there are other games of note, especially in the glob, as we try to figure this thing out. Let's start with North Carolina on the road at Pittsburgh.
High noon on ESPN. Doug Sherman and Corey Alexander will be at the Peterson Events Center. Carolina is 8-8. If they lose tomorrow, they'll go under 500. The last date that Carolina was under 500 at any point in a season was November 22nd, 2004.
Wow.
When they beat BYU to improve to 1-1 after losing to Santa Clara in the season opener. The point guard on that team was Quentin Thomas, to show you how long ago that was.
How about that?
So,
And Pitt's not going to be real happy with the way that game ended the other night against Louisville. The zoo will be a zoo tomorrow.
Well, and remember, Pitt won 10 days ago in Chapel Hill. Yep. So, Syracuse, Virginia Tech is next on the one stat per game,
We're just bragging about the Hokies. They have committed a turnover on just 14.6% of its possessions this season, which, by the way, is the third lowest rate among all Division I teams. The Hokies have turned the ball over only 9.6 times per game this season. So here's Cuse coming in red hot. They lighted it up. I mean, they were good against BC. Can they take that on the road and kind of give you a Georgia Tech performance when they went down to Atlanta and shot lights out? And here are the Hokies at 4-2, Wes. Again, with a W, they go to 5-2, and maybe they kind of emerge as, hey, that's the fourth team in this league. We'll see.
By the way, from a player spotlight perspective, Landers Nolly and Elijah Hughes tomorrow.
That's a good one.
By the way, that ball game, noon at the Castle as well. 1 o'clock start on ACC Network. Mike Monaco and Dan Bonner courtside at the Watsco Center for Florida State and Miami. FSU leads the league with 9.53 steals per game. Miami commits 11 turnovers a game. I like Florida State tomorrow. In fact, I'm going to like Florida State a lot the rest of the year based on what I saw the other night against Virginia. I just thought they found a way to score when they needed to and get stops when they needed to. And I know that's just easy to say. But Packett, we'll talk to Leonard Hamilton late in the show. This team looks like they're – and Polite knocking down threes? I mean, Michael Polite? Really?
Yeah, Jordan. I told you, Jordan Cornette at the end of that game that he was doing, he said he thought Florida State was the best team in the league.
Well,
we'll see.
Yep.
All right, Clemson, the Kings of Tobacco Road, all of a sudden, on Tobacco Road. They're taking on NC State. A win by Clemson at NC State Saturday would give the Tigers two wins in the North Carolina Triangle in the same season for just the third time. You got to go back to the mid-70s and the mid-90s. That's a Tim Beray special, by the way.
Sure it is.
But, man, alive. I mean, go figure these guys out. The game you did, NC State went down to Little John. Now, granted, they didn't have C.J. Bryce.
Mm-hmm.
And Clemson took care of business, and we know about them going to Chapel Hill and winning for the first time since Dirt. And then they beat number three Duke Tuesday night and looked like they were the better team. It's an important game for NC State as well. They got C.J. back. I think it makes a difference here.
76-77. Would that be the Colin Abraham, Chubby Wells?
I mean, the fact that that's the only two times it's ever happened, to pick Tree up Rollins, two wins on Tobacco Road.
Stan Rome. 94-95, that's Greg Buckner's freshman year, by the way.
But it's, I'm being serious with you here. This is a really important game for NC State. Clemson's playing with all this momentum, kind of feels like they got house money here.
Yeah.
Right? They're coming in here feeling good about life. Man, they're fired up. They hadn't lost in a week and a half. Beating good teams.
Two wins in the triangle in the same year. Two road wins in the triangle.
Crazy.
And by the way, none of those road wins are Chapel Hill.
Right.
In 76, 77, right. Or 94, 95.
Exactly right. That's what happens when you go 0 for 59.
All right, let's go to the title fight at 6 o'clock. And that is the Ville and the Blue Devils at Cameron Indoor Stadium. 6 o'clock start. Dan Shulman, Jay Billis, Holly Rowe will be there on ESPN. According to BPI, Saturday is Duke's toughest remaining home game with an 86% chance to win. Or 84.
Choose your poison.
84, 86, 220, 221. It's all the same. That stat right there is crazy.
Why?
Well, we're talking about Duke running the table, and you're telling me that I ain't going to run the table.
I think they're going to lose a game or two.
Okay.
And they lost one this week.
All right.
Hey, raise your hand if you thought Duke was going to Clemson to lose.
No.
Right. That's right. My point. Okay. I mean, college hoops. I mentioned this yesterday, too. We've had 12 unranked teams.
Yes, sir.
Beat AP top five teams already this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's already doubled the number from a year ago.
Right.
It's January the 17th.
Right.
You don't think that's going to happen another six, seven times the way this season's going? There are no great teams in college hoops.
That's
none.
Right. That's right.
So you're going to get crazy stuff happening. So Duke's really good. Louisville's really good. Florida State's really good. None of them are running the table.
And Gonzaga ain't playing anybody.
Well, I mean, we're not talking about the Zags. We're talking about the Atlantic Coast Conference.
I know. You're talking about nationally. I'm just saying, yeah, the Zags are going to run out there and hide, and they'll be on the number one team. Exactly. But anyway.
I think in this league,
mm-hmm.
I just don't think anybody's dominant enough where they're just going to show up and say, hey, kiss the ring, man. We're going to here to beat your rear end.
Yep.
I think there can be people going to lose.
Tomorrow night, the last game on a busy Saturday of ACC basketball. We'll take you to Atlanta. 8 o'clock start here on ACC Network. Jay Alter with Jordan Cornette and KD George for the Jackets and the Wahoos. Remember now, wasn't that long ago Virginia held Georgia Tech to under 30 points in a game. And now Virginia finds themselves, according to BPI, down to a 53% chance to make the NCAA tournament, Pack.
Beyond critical for the Hoos tomorrow.
How about the Jackets after a home loss to Notre Dame?
Well, how about the Jackets finally winning a game at home in the ACC? I mean, something's got to give here, right?
Yeah.
Something's got to give in this game. Virginia, though, hey, if you're going to be an NCAA tournament team, you have got to start finding some Ws. And Georgia Tech, they've got experience. Everybody's now healthy.
Mm-hmm.
They've kind of given you some wild nights, right? They've given you some efforts where you went, wow, that's a good-looking club. They've given some efforts like a Syracuse game. You go, yikes.
Well,
what's this all about?
And by the way, Michael Cunningham, a columnist for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, cited in yesterday's pages that he thinks the average nature of college basketball this year gives Georgia Tech an outstanding chance to make the NCAA tournament. Well, if he wants to buy that land, then they need to win tomorrow night.
Well, if you're an NCAA tournament team, you beat Virginia at home.
Right.
You beat this Virginia team at home.
Correct.
We'll see. I don't know. That's what I keep telling you, the glob.
We're going to have a graphic by Monday or Tuesday.
You know what? A month from now, on February the 17th, I don't even know if that's a week.
That's Michael Jordan's birthday, by the way.
Great. How's he doing, by the way? I got a little Hornet tidbit for you later on in the show, by the way.
I think he's fine.
All right. But on February the 17th,
sure,
we're going to look back and say, you know, in the last month, who would have ever thought teams A, B, and C would have gotten on a run? We're going to look back because somebody out of the glob is going to catch fire and turn into something. I don't think we're going to sit here with seven teams at 8-8 coming in the last two or three weeks of the season. Maybe we do. I just think somebody's got to take ownership of the middle.
And the good news is that our crack staff, who supports this program and does marvelous work, has just recorded that so that on February 17th we'll come back to it.
I just think we will look back and go, man, who would have ever thought that Syracuse was going to win 5 of 6 and all of a sudden, again, fill in the blank with whatever team you think that's going to be.
Right.
I just think somebody's got to be able to do that. Maybe not. Maybe this is just going to be one of those years where, you know, it's three really good teams at the top and maybe Virginia Tech makes it 4. I don't know. I mean, I do feel good about the 3 at the top, though. Don't you?
Yes. Yeah, the 3 at the top, and I think that
Virginia Tech's
the one that concerns me just because they've had some success, but it's a relatively new team that's going to have to play through this league. We got 14 league games left.
Just look how different a month has made. In the middle of December, what were we talking about on this show in the middle of December for hoops? We got the shades of blue, North Carolina and Duke.
Virginia.
We got Louisville. The defender in Virginia, and Louisville might be the best of the lot, right? That was the conversation on this show a month ago. Yep. Look how different it is right now.
I'm with you.
I mean, the shades of blue, you know, one's really good. The other one can't. The other one may be sub 500. We'd have never had that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Virginia, we just threw them in there. Virginia right now, we're talking about this weekend. Man, you better win this game or that's 4 straight losses.
For the first time since Tony Bennett's first year.
Right. I mean, there was no conversation of Florida State a month ago as one of them, right?
Right.
And now look what we're talking about. I mean, Jordan Cornette's calling the best team in the league after that game the other night. So it changes drastically. So I can't even imagine on February the 17th what this is going to look like from the glob to see who joins Duke and Louisville and Florida State.
All right. We're going to go to hour two. We're going to check social media during the break, by the way, to see if anybody's added their name to the declaration for the NFL draft this morning.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.